This is ESPN Radio.
It is Canty and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golick Jr. and Amber Wilson filling in for Chris Canty today. We're hopefully going to talk to Chris Felica, co-host of Stanford Stephen the Bear podcast and one of the great members of College Game Day. They're going to be out there. UCLA and Oregon, they get to enjoy some nice West Coast sunshine this weekend. And Amber, I thought that's what I was getting. I'm down here. I'm at Hard Rock Stadium right now. I'm going to be on the call for Miami and North Carolina State tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN2. I thought I was coming down here to steal some sunshine from you guys. I have packed nothing but 5-inch inseam shorts, and it is rainy and cloudy. What the hell, Amber?
Well, welcome to Miami. It's not always sunny. It's just a really good marketing campaign that we put together where we also have you ignore that whole rainy season and, you know, that whole hurricane thing, too. There's that happens before November every year. But nevertheless, normally sunny, mostly sunny, but certainly we do get our fair share of rain down here also.
I was looking forward to really tanning the thighs one last time before the cold came over Connecticut, and now it's all gone for naught, so I'm going to have to do that. I'm sorry to South Beach here. You're not going to get to see my buns out here in their full glory here, because I hear that's what everyone does down here on South Beach. So in the meantime, I guess we can focus on some other things here as I get ready. Beautiful view of Hard Rock Stadium today, though. Should be an exciting one tomorrow here. And, Amber, that's what we're hoping for this weekend across the board in college football. You have been down here in hurricane country for a while. As I'm getting ready for this one, it's been a bit of a tough season so far for Miami. But that being said, they are in the ACC Coastal, so I don't feel like all hope is lost yet, because we know this is an absolute chaos drum.
I mean, it's not. I was surprised, and obviously we're hoping to get Chris the Bear Felica on with us in a minute. I was surprised that this line was only NC State being favored by 3 in this game. Like, I don't feel like the Canes deserve the respect when they're playing a ranked team, frankly. It has been a really disappointing season, and at some point here, the cries are very loud anyways for coaching changes to come, and at some point here it does feel like there's going to have to be changes made to this Miami Hurricanes program, because things have certainly not been trending the right direction, even if they are in a pretty easy division.
So here on Canty and Golick Jr., hopefully we'll get to talk more about that with Chris Felica in a little bit. Time change got him a little bit messed up right now, so hopefully we'll talk to him down the line in this show. But Amber, one of the other things that's going to continue to come up and I think be a story of this NFL season, we saw have a different chapter added to it last night. Thursday Night Football in the NFL, Baker Mayfield not on the field. That ends up being Case Keenum's role. And he has a night where he throws for under 200 yards, albeit in a win where the Browns dominated on the ground. So as far as the situation surrounding Baker Mayfield and his future with the Browns, is there anything we can really learn from last night, Amber?
No. I mean, people were acting like if Case Keenum went out there and ran that offense efficiently, then all of a sudden we were going to realize that Baker's not the guy. And I don't know why we were having that conversation at any point, because if anybody's going to make us realize Baker Mayfield's not the guy, it's not going to be Case Keenum. No disrespect to Case Keenum. He's a solid backup quarterback, but that's what he is. And I don't know where the ceiling is for Baker Mayfield. I do know where the ceiling is for Case Keenum. And when I pulled their career numbers, when you're talking touchdowns and interceptions, it's nearly identical. Baker has a slight edge there in touchdowns. When you're talking completion percentage, nearly identical between those two. And then you go and look at, you know, the whole years in the league thing, and you're like, oh, right, Case Keenum's done this thing for 6 years longer than Baker Mayfield has had the opportunity to do it. Case Keenum is a vet journeyman backup quarterback. He's a good backup quarterback. He's a solid option. He gets the dub for Cleveland. That's what you want from him. He was efficient in that heavy play action based offense, that short pass offense that we saw last night, and he puts Cleveland in a position here where they're still alive. And that's what you want from your backup quarterback when your starter goes down. But Case Keenum is a backup quarterback, and Baker Mayfield, for now, is a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I'm one who actually believes Baker is going to continue to be a starter in the NFL for quite some time.
Yeah, I think you should for the Browns here, too. I want to hear from Aaron Goldhammer from ESPN 850 in Cleveland. He was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max earlier today, talking about how Cleveland feels about Baker Mayfield.
Cleveland loves Baker Mayfield. It is, I'm not allowed to say anything bad about him on the show without getting screamed at. I mean, the guy has about a 98% approval rating amongst the fans. So that there is this notion that there's a quarterback controversy here. No, I think everybody pretty much agrees. Like, healthy Baker is better than Case Keenum right now. I mean, if Case Keenum takes the Browns to the Super Bowl, we can litigate this again. But I don't expect that to happen. And I expect Baker Mayfield to definitely 99% be the starter when the Browns open training camp in 2022. But the season's got a long way to go. But right now, we're not going to get one phone call of somebody saying they think Case Keenum's a better option for the Browns than a healthy Baker would be. It's just healthy Baker isn't the reality right now. Broken-armed Baker is.
Case Keenum's not a better option. But does he have a 98% approval rating because he's so good on the field or because he's a really good actor?
Listen, it should be because of the acting here. Like, I can only hope, Amber, that in whatever time Baker is off the field, and God forbid, you know, Baker Mayfield and his camp, which we can get into, reveal that there is also a small fracture in his shoulder in addition to that torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. I said that were he or should he forced to be going away for a long period of time because of some surgery or thing keeping him off the field, that he would come back with like the King Lear of off-season commercial shoots in whatever he may choose, because I think he is the greatest quarterback commercial actor of our time.
He absolutely is. That, I mean, the jury is not still out on that. Like, we don't know where the ceiling is for Baker Mayfield in terms of football, but in terms of acting, the sky seems like it's the limit for that dude, particularly in terms of commercial acting. I don't even think we need him to like get injured and have some hiatus here from football in order to be able to flex those muscles. I feel like football careers, even if you're Tom Brady, in comparison to your entire life, it's pretty short. You have a lot of time after football. I mean, I assume here at some point Brady's retiring. So presumably, even if Baker goes on to have a very long career, like at some point he's retiring and he'll go on to have a second career and maybe win a few Oscars. Honestly, the direction that's trending, like, he is brilliant in those commercials.
So I know where most people are going to go, because I think Tom Brady's done a better job lately of being an actor in commercials. The gold standard for the quarterback position has long been Peyton Manning,
right?
Our now colleague here at ESPN, him and Eli, Monday Night Football, awesome stuff. I think Baker's better. I just think Baker's better, and I think he needs the one platform left, not a Super Bowl. They got to let Baker host Saturday Night Live. It's got to happen. Like, I know that's not the standard that it used to be, Amber, but I feel like with his chops, he is uniquely prepared.
I feel like now what Baker's playing for in this scenario that we've created is for an acting career, because I just don't, like, do you get to host SNL if you end up just being like a career backup quarterback and then you kind of fade into oblivion after, you know, a 7-year career or something? Like, if Baker doesn't retain a position as a starting quarterback and doesn't have the success ultimately in championships, does Saturday Night Live call? Like, is Saturday Night Live calling Case Keenum?
Saturday Night Live's not calling Case Keenum, but I think Baker's already demonstrated enough. Like, you just see the acting chops show up time and time again, whether it's the Heisman House, any of the commercial stuff here. Like, the guy gets it. And I just want to see him rewarded for that.
I want to see him succeed because of it. So I don't know if the approval rating is necessarily based on what he's accomplished yet on a football field, but I will say that dude is likable, and because of that, I want him to be a starting quarterback in this league for a long time.
Coming up next, you know who else is likable? Chris Felica, and we have finally been able to track him down, and we will get his picks next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. College football is heating up. Tune in tomorrow night. Alabama hosting Tennessee. Presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And for more on what's going down in college football this weekend, co-host of Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast and one of the great members of the College Game Day crew, Chris Felica, joining us now on the Goodyear Hotline, all the way out from California. Chris, what's going on, man?
What's going on? I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day out here, and it's going to be nice and dark in the morning, but we're hoping for a great scene and getting the feel after the Pac-12, so it's great.
Yeah, always a beautiful time for the West Coast game day crowd here, but I'm sure UCLA, Oregon will be proudly represented and show out for what should be a fun weekend. And Chris, I want to get into that weekend with you here, because We had a team in Iowa fall last weekend that I think a lot of people looked at as a good but not great team and saw some of those flaws exposed here. Oklahoma State, now sitting at number 8, heading to Iowa State to take on the Cyclones here. How do we view Oklahoma State at this point for a team that struggled offensively as well?
Yeah, I think Oklahoma State is in that category of like a questionable undefeateds like we had with Iowa, who got went down, like we had with Michigan State, who has dodged a couple of games as well. And anytime you're a team that the only team who has scored fewer points in the Big 12 than Oklahoma State is Kansas, if you're in that company, that's not a good thing. And I think this line is right, because obviously the Vegas odds makers do not really care what the AP poll says. They have their own power ratings that they use. And if you look at ESPN's power ratings, Football Power Index, Iowa State is still a top 10 team, and Oklahoma State's down around 30 because, as you mentioned, the offensive problems, they're in the mid-60s, I believe it is, in offensive efficiency. I know the last 2 weeks, Iowa State has only played Kansas and Kansas State, so that's still no great shakes, but offensively, they're getting things together. Brees Hall has run as well in the last couple of weeks as he had at any time in his career. Charlie Kohler is getting more involved. And remember, too, the last couple of years, this game has been a tough one for Iowa State, because 2 years ago in Ames, it was the Brock Purdy fourth quarter turnover fest. And then last year in Stillwater, they lost a close game. So I think there are a lot of things coming together here that make Iowa State the right side.
Chris, let's talk Wolfpack Canes for a moment here. A hugely disappointing season for the Miami Hurricanes so far. Manny Diaz's seat, I don't think, could be much hotter. I was surprised that NC State is only favored by 3 in this one. What do you have on this game?
Yeah, I like Miami here. And like I said, based on how Miami's season has gone so far, I would not have been imagined backing my alma mater at any point. But that being said, the last couple of weeks, despite falling behind big to Virginia and North Carolina and giving up a ton of points and a ton of yards, they haven't quit. They haven't quit on the season. Their offense has put up points. The freshman quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke, has actually come in and played very well. So he's kind of a bright spot in what's been a very poor season. And NC State beat me last week with Boston College. I'll fully admit I was wrong there. But now you got to go on the road again in conference against an athletic team, against a team that scored in the mid-40s in your place last year. Granted, it was with Derek King, a quarterback. But the fact that Miami appears that they haven't quit on the season yet, I think that's a good thing, and I like the Canes getting 3 at home.
Yeah, going to be on the call for that one tomorrow night. You have seen a lot of fight from a young new core in this Miami team in the wake of all of those injuries. Sticking with the ACC, though, as Chris Felica is with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Wake Forest gets a dose of the Army triple option here, Chris. How do we feel about this for the Clawson-led Demon Deacons?
Yeah, I think there's reason to put Wake Forest on upset alert here and take Army plus the points at home. If you look how Army has done against Power 5 teams the last couple of years, they have gotten points in every instance, and they have covered and covered comfortably in every game. And not only that historical odds trend, but if you look at the last couple of weeks, with how Wake Forest has defended the run against Syracuse and Louisville, it hasn't been very good at all. And even though Wake Forest knows they're going to get a steady dose of the Army running game, I think it could be a little problematic. Not a lot of possessions in this game for Sam Hartman and that Wake Forest offense. So I think Army plus 3 at home is certainly worth a look.
An unranked game on this list, Utah Utes at Oregon State Beavers. Utah is a 3-point favorite in this game.
Yeah, I wonder how Utah will approach this game emotionally. I wonder how much left they have right now, given the tragic month that has gone on in the program. They had the emotional win at USC. They had the big emotional comeback win at home last week in the second half against Arizona State. Now you have to go on the road against an Oregon State team who's had an off week since a really embarrassing loss to Washington State the week before that. It's a team that can put up points. Utah, with Cameron Rising there, their offense has certainly gotten going with him. But you can only reach a peak so many consecutive weeks in a row before you ultimately hit a little bit of a flat spot. I don't like the spot at all for Utah tomorrow. So I'm going to be on Oregon State and Jonathan Smith's offense getting the points at home.
Kenny Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. One more for you, Chris. This one's a little self-serving here, but USC heading on the road to face Notre Dame here as Notre Dame 7-point favorites at home in South Bend. I know it has been a struggle for Notre Dame, who somehow sits here with only one loss, but how are we feeling, or how should I be feeling going into this weekend?
Yeah, and it's kind of like the same situation that both of these teams have been in the last couple of years when the Notre Dame's been having great seasons and USC's kind of been floundering, where you've had a top 10, 15 Notre Dame team taking on an unranked SC team. And in both instances, they've been close games where SC has covered. We'll see how SC can bounce back from that loss that I mentioned to that they took at the hands of Utah a couple of weeks ago. I wonder if Notre Dame has an answer for Drake London, if they have someone who can really eliminate him. I think he could give that Notre Dame defense some problems, but I don't know if SC can go on the road and get that win, because I do think ultimately at some point that Notre Dame offense will have a little bit of success, even though the offensive line, the quarterback play hasn't been great so far. But I would take Notre Dame to win the game on the money line, but I consider taking SC plus the 7 here.
Yeah, that probably sounds about right, Chris, based on where this Notre Dame season's been. A lot of close games, especially with the kind of athleticism they're going to face. You guys check him out, Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast, as well as on College Game Day tomorrow, checking it out from the West Coast here. Chris, we appreciate the time, man, as always. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
All right, thank you. Both of you have a great weekend.
Awesome stuff there again. Game Day, UCLA and Oregon squaring off this weekend. Coming up next, though, the Chiefs got any shot of slowing down Derrick Henry? More of what we can look for in this NFL weekend. We'll do that after this word from AT&T. Now, guys, if there are friends and family members you haven't talked to in a while, don't worry, because it's never too late to reconnect. To help, AT&T is offering deals on the latest smartphones. It's not complicated. Everyone deserves something new. So, AT&T is giving new and existing customers their best deals on every smartphone, even the latest ones. Restrictions and exceptions may apply. Visit att.com for details. Back after this, Canty and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Our weekend preview is brought to you by Geico. Happy Geico-ween. Switch to Geico and see if saving money is in your future. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. And for more help on what we get to look forward to this weekend, we get to talk to our guy Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL D lineman, part of the great crew at NFL Live. What's going on, Marcus? How you doing, man?
What's up, MG Junior? How you living, man? What's up, Am?
I'm good, man. Can't call it right now. We're looking forward to this weekend coming up here. I did have to ask, though, because we were talking so much in these last few days leading up to Thursday Night Football about this Cleveland Browns team and about Baker Mayfield. I don't think we learned much on that front, Marcus. Case Keenum looked like the backup, but what, if anything, did you take away about that Browns team from that win on Thursday night?
That they can win in spite of MG Jr., right? Like, you know, think about this for a second, right? And it sounds like an indictment on Baker Mayfield, and it may be. Like, I don't care about that. But nothing about the game plan had to change, right? Like, if Mahomes go out, you got to change some things. If Josh Allen goes out, you got to change some things. If Justin Herbert goes out, you got to change some stuff, man. But it's Cleveland identity is built through their offensive line. And when you have a team like that, it calls into question at that point, how much do we pay this guy? Does he have the ability is his ability enough for us to sacrifice losing potentially strong suits of what we do as a team because we had to pay Baker? I'm in no way saying Baker shouldn't get paid. I'm in no way saying Baker is not a good quarterback. But ultimately, when you think about what happened last night, it's not so much about Case Keenum's performance. It's more about Bill Callahan, the offensive line coach, performance. It's more about what they were able to do with De'Ernest Johnson to say, hey, we have a scheme that works. And we know that's a better scheme when it's Nick Chubb and when it's Kareem Hunt. So Case Keenum did what he did. And I said it earlier today on NFL Live. The best stat of the entire game was zero turnovers from Case Keenum. And the Browns can win that way. Now, is it enough to go to a Super Bowl? I don't know if the defense is going to perform that well, and I'm not going to act like the Denver Broncos are the greatest thing since sliced bread. But the fact that you were able to go out there, throw 33 passes with your quarterback, he had a touchdown, and he had no turnovers, and you ran the ball as dominant as you did, tells you a lot about why it's going to be a difficult situation when it comes to how much do we pay Baker Mayfield to quarterback our team.
But Marcus, you just compared him to Jackson, Mahomes, and Herbert, and you're absolutely right. I mean, there is no comparison there, but do the Browns need him to be those guys? I mean, arguably the three best quarterbacks in the league. Like, is it fair that we compare the Baker Mayfields of the world when most quarterbacks aren't those three guys?
Yeah, no, they don't need Baker Mayfield in this construct to be those guys, but he's going to have to beat those guys. And that's why we name those guys when it comes down to Baker Mayfield in the conversation. Do you think your run game and your offensive line and your defense, who's been sporadic, is enough to beat a Josh Allen-led Buffalo Bills team if your quarterback can't go toe-to-toe? Or when he has the ball last, can he make the drive to win the game? I think that's the context, right? Like, because we do have to contextualize. Baker Mayfield's a good quarterback. I'm not dismissing the fact of the things that he's done successfully. Unfortunately, I'm going to give you an example. Unfortunately for Kevin Durant, he was in the same class as LeBron James. That's unfortunate. Unfortunately for Clyde Drexler, Michael Jordan was playing in the NBA when he was playing. So it's really more about where he is. You think about Baker Mayfield in his division. If it wasn't for a cataclysmic drop-off from Ben and age, he'd be the fourth-best quarterback in their division, right? So how much are you – I know that I'll give Lamar Jackson $40 million because Lamar Jackson has proven that he's worth that if you are diminished based on where they are right now as a football team from an injury standpoint. So it's not about if Baker is good enough. It's not about comparing him to those guys with his play. It's about those guys that he's going to have to beat, and he's going to have to perform at a very high level if they are going to go to a Super Bowl.
Ken Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson talking to Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst. Marcus, we've had so much conversation about running backs in recent years here, and I don't know if many of us expected the Tennessee Titans to go out and do what they did last Monday night. If Derrick Henry is able to do that kind of damage against the Buffalo Bills, what in the hell is going to happen against the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend?
Ooh, wait, brother. Listen, I said it last week on NFL Live, MG Jr. I got cute because I started going with the Alvin Kamaras of the world and the Christian McCaffreys of the world. And that's not to say those guys aren't phenomenal, but they're different types of running backs. Derrick Henry is the best running back in the NFL, and I don't think it's close, because when you're making a determination about where Derrick Henry aligns with the rest of the running backs and his ability, we know where Derrick Henry going to be. He's going to be lined up in the backfield. He's going to be lined up in either single back, or he's going to have a tight end or some type of motion. But Derrick Henry is responsible for a large majority of his yards. And I'm not taking anything away from that Titans offensive line either. But when you think about all of these other backs, right, they have the passing yards that adds to their stats. They have the screen game that adds to their stats. Majority of the time, Derrick Henry is getting the handoff, and he's having his way with people. And I expect him to do that against the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs' mindset in this game needs to be, we have to outscore the Tennessee Titans. We have to get a possession or two where they go a three and out, or we get the ball away from them. Because if you don't, and you let Derrick Henry be Derrick Henry, which is very hard to do from a defensive standpoint, is to take him out or eliminate him, you're going to have a long day, bro. And we keep trying to find ways to say, well, you can do this. And as a defensive player, you know me, MG, Julian, and Amber. I'm trying to figure out how in the hell do you stop Derrick Henry from getting these yards? I ain't found the answer yet, and I played D-line 9 years in the NFL. So at the end of the day, you better get to that stadium if you Kansas City with it on your mind that you're going to score at a rapid pace, but also you're going to use some of your run game with Darrell Williams as well to slow it down just a bit. Because if you're giving that ball back to Ryan Tannehill, and if you're living in the vein of turning the football over like Kansas City has been doing, that is a recipe for disaster with that grown man in the backfield.
Marcus, I was going to ask you about Bengals-Ravens, the matchup that our producer Shannon is inexplicably obsessed with this weekend, but I'm up against the clock, they're telling me in my ear. So instead, I have to ask you a really, really important question that's going to segue us to next segment, but I'm not going to give you any context. How many pillows do you have on your bed?
I got
at any given time during the day, including decorative pillows. How many pillows?
Six, and it's all because of my wife.
See, this is the crux of the matter here. Marcus, thank you, as always, for being the voice of reason in all of this stuff here. We appreciate you. Enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you soon and get back to you on just how badly this is going to go for me, all right?
Okay, family. Appreciate it. Y'all take care.
Awesome stuff.
Marcus's
Spears.
Wife knows what's up. That's where we're about to go with this.
Yeah, yeah. Coming up next, we got to get to the bottom of this situation here right now. How many is too many when it comes to the stuff that you're putting on your bed? That's next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
The Road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coverage of the ALCS Game 6 between the Red Sox and the Astros coming up at ESPN Radio, 7:30 Eastern, right after us. Dan Shulman going to be on the call, will join us at 7 o'clock Eastern. It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. And Amber, we got some big news coming up this weekend. This was always going to be one of the quarterback battles that defined this season. So many people, myself included, I was a big fan of, big proponent of playing a lot of these rookies early because I thought you drafted so many of them high, and a lot of instances you traded up resources to get them. Excuse me, it behooved you to get them on the field early. But Jimmy Garoppolo getting set to make his return this weekend against the Colts comes at an interesting crossroads for the 49ers because I expected them to be one of those teams. I thought Trey Lance was uber talented but needed a lot of football, but this team has certainly looked different with him at the helm here, and it seemed like Jimmy may be one of those quarterbacks well-received coming back into this role.
Yeah, I think also because, of course, we're not going to see Trey Lance this week because he's got the sprained knee, so it's good timing in that respect that Jimmy Garoppolo, he was able to work his way back over their bye week in practice, and he should be good to go this week. You and I spent a lot of the preseason talking about this quarterback situation. It felt different to me than a lot of the other teams because I think both you and I agreed that they would work Trey Lance into things and not necessarily expect Trey Lance to take over the helm right away. And we felt like that was going to be a big advantage for Trey Lance, where you still get reps and you're going to see him as more part of that offense, particularly in special schemes and whatnot, where he'll be a more integral part of the offense rather than just the backup quarterback or the quarterback in waiting. Obviously, now both of these guys have dealt with some injuries here, so it doesn't always work out every week. But I still think Trey Lance is in a good situation, but now I'd say Jimmy Garoppolo is as well, and maybe Jimmy's in a much better situation than we expected him to be in the preseason, because you're right, he has won over the crowd a bit here this season so far.
Yeah, I think just when we've seen Trey Lance out there on the field, there's been the spots where his limitations at this point have been apparent. The passing game has certainly not looked the way that people have wanted it to yet, in the backdrop of knowing what Kyle Shanahan's offense tends to be capable of, is going to make that a difficult sell here. Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy I think has a pretty clear ceiling here. I think it's even below what we saw from someone like Jared Goff, being honestly, talking about quarterbacks that were able to bring their team to the Super Bowl on that NFC side. But, Amber, there's no question that right here and right now, if you're a 49ers fan looking to salvage some of this season here, like, yeah, I think you might be slowing down the future a bit. Injury helps that in the Trey Lance sense. But Jimmy Garoppolo right now probably going to give you a slightly better chance to win?
he's going to give you a better chance to win than Trey Lance. I don't think that this is that quarterback controversy where we're all screaming for Trey Lance, because you're right. Trey Lance needs a lot more experience. We knew that was going to be the case, though, going into the season, and we thought he was going to get that experience before the keys were handed over to him for the kingdom. We thought he was going to get that experience on specialty plays and specialty packages and being brought in as part of that offense in a different way than we've seen, like with a Justin Fields, where we knew at some point here the helm's getting turned over, so let's go ahead and turn it over. With Trey Lance, it felt like he needed more experience, and you have Jimmy for now, and Jimmy's a viable quarterback. I'm surprised you think his ceiling is lower than Jared Goff. I'm surprised at that take right now, particularly what's been happening with Goff in Detroit. Nevertheless, you know, this 49ers team, I think that right now you rock with Garoppolo, and of course they don't have a choice with the injury to Trey Lance's knee, but even more so because of the lack of experience, and Trey Lance has certainly shown that he needs some more reps even when he is fully healthy.
Oh, I think Jared Goff, for all his flaws that we talk about, is still a more talented player than Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that was, you know, apparent in him being a number one overall pick. But
both of them feel like quarterbacks to me that, like, if you're on great teams, then okay, you're gonna look pretty good, and if you're on, you know, bad teams, then there's only so much you can do, which is the most guys in the league. Most guys in the league are not the, you know, Patrick Mahomes, maybe a poor season to reference that, but like the Lamar Jacksons of the world, where they're going to take even poor teams to that next level. Most NFL quarterbacks can't really do that, and I think we've seen that from Jared Goff in Detroit. Even if you're a believer in him, I feel like Jimmy Garoppolo and Jared Goff are kind of same tier of quarterback.
Kenny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson. And Amber, while this debate is certainly fascinating to a lot of people, it pales in comparison to what came up during one of our last breaks here, because you are a woman and I am a man. So we see some parts of the world a little bit differently, others very similar. That's kind of just the way things go here. I don't know if there's any line that divides gender at times so much, and we've had this conversation about multi-purpose soaps and body washes here on this show. Do you think the throw pillows on the bed are also a place? Because I don't forget how this came up during the break, but all of a sudden it devolved into you sending us a picture of the volume of pillows. How many are on your bed right now at any given moment?
I think that nothing defines gender more specifically than pillows, because right now we had this conversation off air. Shannon, our producer, had randomly asked me how many pillows are on your bed at a given moment. And during the day, I counted them and discovered, well, I have 12 pillows because I have 6 regular pillows and I have 6 decorative pillows, which feels to me like a very reasonable number. You guys thought it was insane. I then texted you and Shannon a picture of my pillows, and my bed looks lovely.
It does look lovely, and I'll say this. I have often felt, because society has made me feel this way, like my bed is lesser, because, Amber, I've got 4 usable pillows, like my tried-and-true nighttime sleepers here. I have 2, like, decorative pillows. That's
Wow.
I have one that sits on either
side.
But
that's more than a lot of single men, so I'm already very impressed, honestly.
I do. Does it matter that I also have the decorative throw blanket on the bottom on top of the comforter here? Yeah, I listen.
Whoa, you're taking it up a notch.
A little more than meets the eye. It is amazing how much more time I've spent on this. And I make the bed every morning. Ladies, I'm just saying. Grown up over
here.
He's
available,
adult,
ladies.
Doing it big over here. Coming up next, I have no idea how many pillows are on Ben Simmons' bed, but we'll try and figure out how much longer that bed will be in Philadelphia.
This is ESPN Radio.